We are here today to absolutely celebrate, absolutely worship Christ the King and what He did to provide salvation for you and I. I want to share with you, it wasn't meant to be a joke, but it became, if you will, a joke. But that song that they just sang about, in the highest degree, we should worship Christ the King. In my mind's eye, and y'all know I'm an MTV type guy, I don't support MTV on any level, but that's how I think. I think in video. I think in movies. And so then that song was going, I was seeing that first service crowd. I'm the young guy there. Y'all understand that? 54 years of age, the young guy at the first. Now, we have some younger folks there, but on a median level, I'm one of the young people. And in my mind's eye, think about a stock market situation of your sin. The stock market of our sin, it never goes down precipitously. If you're like me, it always seems to eke further and further. And when Jesus paid the price on the cross for yours and my sin, if you could see that on a stock market level, it went to zero. He wiped it out. He canceled it. It's done. And I'm telling you, if that first service and this service ever got a hold of that, and God allowed us to let go of our inhibitions, we would white-knuckle that pew and scream with all of our might in rejoicing in the highest that God has paid the debt for our sin. And I saw a little Dorothy Clark doing that in my mind. I just and it tickled me. At the end of the service, Brother Wayne Gooch, how many of you know Brother Wayne? Brother Wayne Gooch, not yours and my color. Brother Wayne is a black man. And Brother Wayne came out and said, Brother Ben, I'm just going to have to take one issue with something you said today. He held up his hand and said, I'm never going to white knuckle anything. You get an exemption, Brother Wayne, it's okay. But, and I hope everybody here understands that's a colloquialism or a cliche from way back in the day, that when you grab something, all the blood disappears from them knuckles. You're white knuckling something. But that was funny to me when he came and shared that with me. Church, I'm so glad that we can laugh about our sin. Jesus has made it a laughing matter from the standpoint that it's finished. It's done. And it all started with a babe in a manger. And we ought to worship Christ today for that. We started back on November the 17th, a very simple and straightforward approach, if you will, to elements of the Christmas story, and we're simply looking at positive character traits and emotions against parallel negative character traits and emotions. And today's is simply looking at service, if you will, servitude against being served, selflessness against selfishness. The simple title is Why Christ Came as a Baby. And we're going to answer that at the end of the message. Why Christ came as a baby. We are looking at how these conditions and emotions relate to the Christmas story and to ours. Our series in a sentence is character over emotion wins in all seasons, but definitely in the season of difficulty. The same humility that Christ expressed when he came as a baby is the same humility that is required for us to be servants to those he has called us to serve. We're going to fail today if every person in this auditorium has not, does not, will not wake up to the reality. You have been called to serve someone else. You have. And Jesus absolutely embraced that, so much so that he came as a baby. And that requires humility. Noah Webster, 1828, says, humility, in ethics, freedom from pride and arrogance. In church, I would like to think that if God allowed us, if he started a line somewhere, that if you just got in the line sooner or later when you got to the front, you would be freed of your pride and arrogance. I hope that we would all line up, because that's what heaven's going to be. When we get to heaven, we're going to be freed from our pride and our arrogance. Humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. In theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. Matthew 20, 28, Jesus sums it up. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That takes humility. Point number one, this humility was born out of love. This humility was born out of love. Will you stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Just so simple of a verse, so short of a verse. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you to read it aloud with me. So we're going to have read it twice. Let me read it first. We love him because he first loved us. You ready? We love him because he first loved us. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. This humility was born out of love. I hope and pray that this phrase, God loves you, is a cliche here at church. Because even though cliches carry with it the trap of familiarity, and familiarity carries the trap of contempt and contentment to the point that it doesn't mean anything anymore, we must resist that. Church, you and I ought to always be blessed when someone says, God loves you. You and I ought to always have a pause and an absolute grateful reality and response to God when God tells us, son, daughter, I love you. I'm all in, he says. I love you. Humility is born out of love. The reason Jesus could afford to leave the throne of heaven and come as a child is because he loves you. He's all in. You are the apple of his eye. You need to put your name in that sentence. God loves Ben. God loves you. And Jesus has never gotten over it. He loves you. So much so that he humbled himself. Humility is born out of love. Point number two. This humility was born out of need. Romans chapter 5, 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. Church, it's not enough for us to say, man, that's great. God loves us. We got to understand what that love cost him. We had a little humorous moment. We'll see if it happens with second service. But church, again, another cliche that you ought to be used to here at Bethel Church. We're sinners. We don't just need a Savior. We have to have a Savior or we're done. We're sinners. You and I have been liars from day one. Before we were cognizant, before we were understanding what all was going on, you'd lie. Spent much time around a baby? They're sitting there crying and everything's fine. Their diaper's good, their belly's full, temp's good, everything's good, but they're crying, they're lying. That's right. You know why? They want to be held. spoiled brat. Watch this. Watch this. You were that baby at one point. You're all liars. Now watch this. It goes further. Not only would you lie when everything was fine, you'd also lie after you pooped your pants. You know why? Because the mom or dad would say, everything okay? Oh, yeah, we're good. Nothing to see here. Something was to see there. We're liars. I mean, from day one. And it just came natural. Your mama and daddy did not teach you, did not have to teach you how to lie. They had to teach you how to tell the truth. They didn't have to teach you how to cheat. They didn't have to teach you how to be dishonest. All that came natural. It was one phrase that Dad lovingly drilled into our heads. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And he was right. And the Bible teaches us that. And church, Jesus humbled himself because there was a need. And surely we don't have to convince anyone in this building that on a worldwide level there's a need. Our world is out of control. But Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the answer. Number three, this humility was born out of character. I love this. And we're just going to basically read this passage. This passage proves, if you will, the point. This humility that Jesus displayed coming as a baby was born out of character. Philippians chapter 2. And please hear this. If we will live here this year, church, we'll turn this place upside down. If there be, therefore, Paul says, any consolation in Christ, and there is. If there's any comfort of love, and there is. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is. If bowels and mercies fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, Paul says. Having the same love that Jesus had, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Here it is. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm just going to take a little bit of a pause here. I'm not doing this for any other reason, but I feel led of the Spirit to say it. Paul Prince has embodied this passage. Do you know how hard it is to bless a man that won't let you bless him? Because he's so worried he's going to put you out. He's so worried. He's more concerned about your situation than he is his own. And his own situation is desperate. So I just want to tell you, church, Paul is living out his faith. Lynn is living out her faith. And we as a church, we must, and we are, please hear me. I'm not getting on to anybody, I'm just telling you. This passage is happening in that situation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Who being in the form of God, he was God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Of course, you understand that back in that day, the cross was the worst way you could die. It was the most humiliating because the Romans set out to form the most humiliating form of death that they could. He submitted himself even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This humility that Jesus displayed is born out of character. Point number four, this humility was born out of choice. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. He loved us. He saw the need. He had the character that he needed to carry out what he needed to do. And then he made a choice. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and I'm going to become a child, and I'm going to go through everything that these people go through, and then I'm going to live the perfect life, and then I'm going to bear their sin on my cross of Calvary, and I'm going to pay the price so that we can live together forever in heaven. I'm going to do it. And he did it. He did it. He did everything that we needed him to do. So why did Jesus come as a baby? To teach us how to serve others. Church, there's no person in this building that has ever effectively received a child and effectively cared for that child without humility. Because to care for a child and keep that child alive, there we go, and with any kind of level of good health, you must completely die to self and take care of their every need. So Jesus came as a baby, and he showed the world, if you're going to accept me, you're going to have to accept me the same way you would a baby. You're going to have to humble yourself, and you're going to have to receive me by serving me. Now think about that. It takes humility to receive a child. It takes humility to receive Christ as our Savior. It takes humility to offer that same Christ to the world. You see, when you come to the end of yourself and you realize I don't have any hope of heaven within myself. I love this phrase. There's nothing good inside of us to commend us to God. If you want to get to God, you've got to come to him on his terms. You've got to humble yourself and say, you're right, God, I'm wrong. Forgive me of my sins. And Jesus says, I did way back before the foundations of the world. And he receives you. When you and I humble ourselves and say, Lord, we're lost. We have no hope of heaven without you. Jesus says, you're right. And here, come, receive the hope. My dad used to always tell me, Ben, I almost said Brother Ben. He never said that. Ben, it's not getting people saved that is the hard work. And I remember saying, looking at my preacher daddy, that don't make sense, Dad. Because I see how hard you work. I see how hard the church works to save one person. How can that be true? Son, the hard thing is getting them lost. Getting them to that point that they realize that even though, hey folks, all of us, we feel like we're pretty good people. I ain't killed nobody recently. You know, type thing. As a world, we think we're okay. But church, we're sinners. We're sinners, and we are absolutely fit for a punishment for the rest of our lives. Watch this. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so when you and I humble ourselves and receive what Jesus did on the cross, now we're ready to live the rest of the life that he lived, to go tell others. To go tell others. Would you stand, musicians? Will you come? I've got one more question. I want to remind you that this first verse of invitation is for our service. If you're here today in a crowd this size, it's likely that someone is here today and you've never, ever accepted Christ as your Savior. And if that's you today, please hear me. You're in good company. Because every person here was in that condition at one point. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is what we live for as a church, to offer you the opportunity, the invitation. We're inviting you to come forward. And I know you might think, Brother Ben, look at this crowd. This is, quote unquote, a big crowd for this church. I fill in the blank. I'm shy. I'm embarrassed, whatever the case may be. Grab the hand of whoever's closest to you and say, walk with me. And I dare say they will. If not, they'll be in trouble. All right? If they're small enough, I'll whoop them. No, I'm kidding. My point is every person in here shares the same desire that I share as far as a member or worshiper of Jesus Christ here at Bethel. We want you to come to know Jesus. And so we're inviting you to come. I'll send you someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you, and you'll know that wherever you are when you die, you'll go from that spot straight to heaven. I promise you that. So for everybody that knows Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is my last question to you today. Possibly the last question from your pastor in 2019. Will you honor Christ this Christmas with your worship and your service? If so, it will require humility. It will. And church, everything that Jesus did to humble himself, you and I can do as well. We can have the humility to the point that we love the person that God is calling us to reach. We can have the humility to the point that we can see the need. We can see, if you will, their spiritual house on fire. I just want to remind you, church, I'm not doing this for any other reason that I just absolutely feel led. Every time you hear a siren, anywhere you're at, that's a call to prayer. Not just to pray for the people that you know in this church that are first responders, but to pray for the person they're responding to. Pray for safety for them, and pray for safety and healing for the person they're responding to and the such. God cares, and he cares so much he wants you to care. Have the humility to learn the character, to do what it needs to serve others. Have the humility to make the choice. Will you honor Christ this Christmas with your worship and service? If so, it will require humility. Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this invitation. Change us, Father, to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Will you come? This is not our Christmas gift to Jesus yet. This is just our invitation. Just as I